Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Hockey Writers Roundtable. I am your host, Matthew Zator, and I am joined in by a couple of San Jose Sharks writers. We're up to the San Jose Sharks. We've done quite a few teams already for our season previews. We are about middle of September, getting close to the season. So Alex Hutton, William Espy joining me here. First of all, Alex, how's it going?
It's going good. I mean, this is a great time of year to be a sports fan, and the next few weeks it only gets better, I think, with NHL season starting, NBA season starting, football ramping up, getting into the baseball playoffs. It's definitely a good time of year for all this kind of stuff.
For sure. Lots of sports going on. And William, welcome to YouTube. How's it going?
Going good. I mean, like Alex said, there's a lot to be excited about. Right now, as a Bengals fan, I'm not very happy, but there'll be progress on that, I'm sure.
For sure. And well, we're going to talk about the San Jose Sharks and lots of change in the offseason, lots of change, big players moving, Erik Karlsson, 100-point season, he's out the door and into Pittsburgh now. I mean, you know, that was maybe, I don't know if it was expected. It seemed like it started to be more expected throughout the offseason that he was going to get moved somewhere. Ended up happening. So that's a whole big change to the defense. Forwards is quite a few different guys that were brought in. But, you know, this team's in a rebuild. I think that's probably where it's going. Lots of younger guys hopefully will be starting to move into the lineup. I don't know about this season, but we'll see. The Sharks are going to be, I don't know if they're going to be a really bad team for a while, but they're not going to be very good. So we're going to probably be talking about the Sharks being in the bottom of the basement for a few seasons. So let's get right into this preview for this season and talk about the forwards and some of the new additions. Because like I said, there's quite a few, and we'll start with probably, I don't know if it's the biggest one, but I think it's most intriguing is Anthony Duclair, because I think he still has a lot more to give in the NHL, and he's 28 years old. He's kind of right in that prime years, and he's on a team that's probably not going to be very good, just coming from a team that almost won the cup in Florida. So, I mean, he kind of went from the top to the bottom. So, Alex, I'll ask you about Duclair. What do you think he'll bring to the team? And do you think he's going to be more than just a one and done and traded at the deadline?
Yeah, no, that really is an interesting question, I think, not only for him, but for a lot of these veteran forwards that they brought in the offseason. Is, are they part of the long-term plan and picture, or are they just going to be trade chips at the deadline in 24? I think with Duclair specifically, you know, he's someone who's already played on a lot of different teams, even though he's only 28. He's bounced around the league a lot, kind of trying to find his place and where he fits in. It felt like he really started to find that towards the end of his time in Florida. And I think, I'm sure, you know, trading him for the capital they were able to get was kind of a tough decision for them, but it was understandable. And I think that, you know, the Sharks on a team where, like we talked about, maybe not going to be that good this year, he'll definitely have a lot of freedom to play the game he wants to play and try to sort of find that long-term home. And it'll be interesting to see as it plays out over the course of the season, whether or not San Jose is that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he does have scoring ability. We've seen it in the past. He can score. So we'll see how he meshes into this team, and yeah, whether he is a long-term piece or not. William, I said about interesting players, this is another guy, Philip Zadina, coming over from the Detroit Red Wings, and not a very good time there. He high draft pick, never really panned out. We talked about him a lot on Grindline. He just didn't work. I mean, it just didn't work in Detroit. Now he comes to San Jose. He could be a piece for the future because he is really young still. He's only 23. Where do you see him fitting into this lineup this season and in the future?
I do remember earlier, I believe is when he first came to San Jose, they did an introductory press conference, and I believe he said something along the lines of he's been told he's going to play a lot of minutes. He's going to play in a big role. So with the guy, I wonder if you put him next to somebody like Logan Couture, if that's going to be something that's really going to help. Because, I mean, put somebody with that amount of skill on that type of line, with that type of line mate, that can make something special. I mean, he's struggled to this point, I believe. If I remember correctly, he spent some time with Grand Rapids last year.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's not something you want to see from a top draft prospect who's been in the league for quite a few years. That's a massive step back. And now being in a new system, new coach, new management, just a breath of fresh air, that can be a big thing for him. It can be basically what sparks his breakout that we've been waiting for years at this point that just never came.
It's funny because it feels like he's been in the league for a long time and he's only 23. But yeah, he drafted ahead of Quinn Hughes, which, I mean, everyone keeps, you know, he's saying how much what Quinn Hughes has done in the NHL. Yeah, he's a guy that had a lot of scoring potential when he was drafted, and yeah, hasn't really done it. And we'll see if he can do it in San Jose, be part of this rebuild, because he definitely is in that age range where he could fit into this new core. We'll see if he does, though. All right, moving back to a veteran, Alex, and talking about Mikael Granlund, who came from the Pittsburgh Penguins in that Erik Karlsson trade. It's probably a bit of a cap dump, but $5 million. He's a big piece till 2025 is his contract. So he's not here just for the short term. What do you think, where does he fit into this lineup? Is he a guy like I said, with Duclair, is he a guy they're going to try to move at the deadline, or is he going to be here for a bit?
Yeah, they could try to move him. I do think, as you pointed out, it might be tougher given the length of his contract. And he's got another season on it, whereas someone like a Duclair is a UFA at the end of the year. So it's a little bit different in that sense. I think what Granlund can really bring is that sort of veteran presence. And, you know, the Sharks are going to be playing a lot of young guys this year, a lot of prospects that are making their way up pretty soon. And I think he can be there as kind of maybe a tutor and a mentor to those guys who, you know, he's been around for years in the NHL and knows what it's about and can help sort of guide those guys along as they learn and adjust to the game of professional hockey.
Yeah, that's a big piece. I think for the younger guys, is having the veteran piece is like, you know, everyone kind of says, well, get rid of all the veterans, play all the young guys, but you still need the veterans there in rebuilds. And I think a lot of people forget that. You need that veteran support. You can't just throw a bunch of rookies together and hope that they're just going to work together, because, you know, they're rookies. They look to the right and, oh, you're a young guy and you're a young guy. I don't have anything to kind of ask you guys about. And I feel veterans are really important to still have around. So Granlund definitely could be that for sure. All right, finally, William, over to another veteran guy, Mike Hoffman, coming in from Montreal Canadiens. And he was, he's not bad. I mean, he has scored a few. He's been able to be a consistent scorer. He just kind of maybe dealt with injuries lately and, you know, kind of fell out of favor in Montreal. But he's on last year of his deal, so he could also be a trade piece. Does he fit in this lineup moving forward? Or is he, again, just a guy they're going to try to move?
I think he's mainly going to be moved at the deadline. Looking at his numbers, past three seasons, the highest he's had is 17 goals, which compared to where he was at about half a decade ago, that's not what you would have expected. I mean, even just 4 years ago, he's putting up 29, the year before that, 36. He fell off quickly, and that's reflected in his contract. I believe it's still about a cap at about around $5 million. I don't know the exact number, but it's an intense contract. But at the same time, if he goes out this season, plays with the top guys on the Sharks, he's probably gonna get a lot of ice time just because there's not many people to overtake him. And as a result, if he gets 20, 25 goals, I think he can get a decent return for him at the deadline, because he has been a decent playoff performer in the past as well. He's not been incredible, but he's been decent. And I mean, especially when you look at the contenders down the lineup, you can never have enough depth scoring. And Hoffman's going to bring that to whoever wants him. And as a result, somebody might decide, hey, this guy's a veteran leader, let's pay him a pretty penny and get him over to our team.
Yeah, it's true. And his cap hit won't be that high if you're going around the deadline up, because it'd be half the 4.5, which, you know, is not bad for coming in. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see all these guys, if they're going to be here after the deadline, for sure. All right, back to you, Alex. Overall, this core group, do you have anything that you're kind of looking for in training camp? This is going to be a bit of a puzzle in training camp, because a lot of new guys, a lot of young guys, a lot of guys still from last season, guys that got in the Timo Meier trade as well, are still kind of trying to figure out where they are in the lineup. Do you have anything you're kind of looking for in training camp as it gets going here?
I think the big thing I'm looking at is the returning guys. How do they play in the first season without Erik Karlsson and the first full season without Timo Meier? Because both those guys, so much skill on offense, open up so many opportunities for their teammates just by their presence on the ice and their threat to score or get an assist. So those veteran forwards who have been on the team in the past, who would already play with those guys and now can no longer play with them, how do they adjust to no longer having those offensive assets around them, helping them out?
Yeah, that's a big thing because, you know, in general, when you bring in new guys, it's hard. And now you've got so many of them and how you're trying to figure it out. You know, the guys that were there last season, there's not many that played a whole season last year. I mean, a lot of the core guys are gone. You do still have Logan Couture. You still have Thomas Hertl, who are still part of that, I don't know, quote unquote, old core. You know, Hertl's still 29. He's kind of in that prime years and he's paid a ton. So, I mean, he's still part of that group. William, what do you think about the group, this forward group going into the season? What type of storylines are you looking at?
I think the big thing, especially at the beginning of the season, we're going to have to keep an eye on is I feel like the lines are going to move around a lot. You're not going to see, like last season, it felt like for a while, they just kind of slotted into place. Everything just kind of stayed the same. I think really probably the entire season, it's going to be shifting. Quinn's going to definitely have his work cut out for him to get this figured out because there's basically no chemistry of any of these guys. Everybody's line mates are gone. And then you have these new guys who are coming in, don't know anybody. Yeah. And it's going to be a bit chaotic to say the least at the start. And I do agree with Alex. I think it's going to be tough for some of the veterans to adapt. And I think in a way that might actually help them numbers wise, at least because they're going to be more relied upon. But in terms of, I'd say probably advanced stats, things might not look as pretty, but it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on just what they move around, how they kind of cycle this. And of course you have the young guys, like where are they going to slot into all this? Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of veterans who are on the roster now and there's not much room. It seems like in the top six, top nine. And I don't think you want to call up a young guy and just throw him on the fourth line either. No. So it's basically, there's not much room anywhere.
Yeah, lots of their top prospects, like Willie Mecklund, everyone wants to see him in the NHL. He played really well when he started. Probably going to be stuck in the minors. I mean,
I think he should be on the roster. It's just a question of how do they make room for him? At that point, do you consider, because I know a lot of people have the argument of, oh, we don't want to send this guy down because we don't want to waive him. But at a certain point, you can't hinder your development just to keep a guy who's going to be your fourth liner for the next 3 years and then you dump him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where, like, they have to start establishing that new core that you're going to build around. And, you know, it's tough when you have so many veterans in the lineup kind of blocking that. So we'll see how that all plays out. Right. Moving to the defense, which saw some changes, not a lot. They did, like, I mean, some changes, some additions. They did see a lot of changes because Erik Karlsson's gone, who led them by like craziness. So, I mean, there's a new leader back there. I don't know who it is. I mean, Mark-Edvard Vlasic is the most veteran guy in the roster now. Still getting paid $7 million, 36 years old, and he leads the defense right now. So they added Kyle Burrows, a depth guy. I like him. He played in Vancouver last couple seasons, a very good depth defenseman, but he probably won't move the needle anywhere in the top four or anything. Also got Jan Ruda in, and he's been pretty good defenseman over the past few seasons with the Tampa Bay Lightning and played with the Penguins last season. Alex, what do you think about this defensive group? I mean, again, in transition.
Very much in transition. Yeah, I mean, they've got a couple of guys in the prospect pipeline who might see some time during the season there as well. So that's something to look out for. But I think the big thing, what you see the front office trying to do is basically make their blue line more defensive minded. You know, if you go back over the years, you've seen Erik Karlsson. If you go back a little bit further to Brent Burns or even Dan Boyle, they've really been always centered around a very offensive minded defenseman. And they're kind of moving away from that. You know, I think they're current leading scorer on the blue line is Matt Benning, who had 24 points last season. So it's very different from the 101 that Erik Karlsson offered you. So it's definitely a different kind of look. You know, you've seen their goals allowed numbers have not been good over the last few years. So now they're trying to kind of switch that and go just basically completely in the opposite direction with a very defensive centric blue line.
Yeah, that's very true. They don't have anyone that's an Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns anymore. It's Vlasic is a good two-way defenseman, but he's not putting up a ton of points for you. He's right. That good complimentary guy for an offensive defenseman. So yeah, I definitely agree with that. William, you have anything to add to the defensive discussion here? I mean, where do you see this group going this season?
It's going to be rough, I feel. Like you said, it is making a bit more of a defensive first type mentality. And of course, that's going to mean basically rewriting the entire system, because last year, a lot of the offense went straight through Karlsson, and now you don't have a guy to do that. So you kind of are going to have to rely more on the forwards, which is going to be helpful. But I mean, that's also going to take the centers a lot of their defensive responsibility, and they're not really going to be able to do much because they're going to be stuck trying to make plays up the ice. And as a result, there's going to be more pressure on the defense, I feel. So it's hard to predict how this is going to go, because in theory, having a good defense that can stop goals is a good thing. But do they have the right pieces in place to do that? And I don't know. I don't think so. So it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, in theory, this could go really well for them, but in at the same time, realistically, this could go very badly.
Yeah, and as we move to the goaltending, it's not better here either. Kaapo Kähkönen and Mackenzie Blackwood are now the tandem. Blackwood coming over from the New Jersey Devils. Again, kind of fell out of favor there. He's dealt with a lot of injuries these past couple seasons. Not very good performance wise. He was really good a couple seasons ago. They thought he was the starter. He was going to be the guy for the Devils, but now in San Jose, William, we'll stay with you with the goaltending. What do you think about this tandem? I mean, is there a clear cut starter here, or are they going to be at that 1A, 1B, and are they a very strong 1A, 1B in that?
So I think it's wide open here. My gut, because when Blackwood was drafted, I remember saying this guy's a future Vezina winner, and I don't want to be wrong about that. So I hope he's the number one. I hope he gets that level. But statistically, odds aren't in my favor on that one. Like you said, he was great for a bit about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Or so he had two really good seasons, and then it just fell off a cliff with, really right around the time when we started getting into the bubble and all that is when that all happened. And last season, he even spent some time in the AHL and didn't even do well there. So that's not very promising. But there is the upside. If he is able to find his groove and get going, he's shown he can perform at a high level at the NHL, just not consistently.
Yeah.
So if you find a way to get him back to that level and make him do it consistently, then you could have a great goaltender here. I mean, how many times do we see a goalie kind of find their stride late in their 20s, sometimes even early 30s, like Tim Thomas, for example. He was pretty late when he got there. And then with Kähkönen, you kind of know what you get with him. Last year was a downswing from what he had done previously. But with Minnesota, and even with his first season in the Sharks, he's played very well. I think he's ideally a backup. So you have to try to find somebody who's going to be able to take that number one spot. And the question basically to me at that point is it Blackwood? And if the answer is no, I think that's going to make things a lot harder for everybody. So I don't think you want Kähkönen playing 50 games.
No, it'd probably be better that they kind of split the time.
Yeah.
And be good as a 1A, 1B, but we'll see. Yeah. Alex, what do you think about this goaltending tandem? I'm thinking they hope that they should have kept Aiden Hill, but
yeah,
I don't know if he would have emerged.
That worked out. Yeah, that really took a turn in a very interesting way. Yeah, no, I mean, I like this sort of post Martin Jones era of goaltending the Sharks have had. I've started calling it the stopgap era, because I just feel like every single person they put in net is like a stopgap measure rather than some sort of long-term solution. I mean, you just go down the list of guys who have gotten like starts recently, and it's a lot of guys who are just sort of there to fill time more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And they're just still looking for that that goalie of the future. I mean, I definitely feel like it is a 1A, 1B thing. I expect Kakinen to get a little bit more of the playing time just because he's been in San Jose for longer. He's got a little more established trust with the coaching staff and things like that. But I definitely think Blackwood will see a lot of action as well. I mean, I think if there is an upside to the goalie situation they have right now, it's that it's a chance to play a bunch of different goalies and see who works out. Because, you know, you got the two of them. You've got Etu Makaniemi, who got a little bit of NHL playing time last year and looked pretty good in that brief little bit of action he got. You've got a couple of goalies who played pretty well at the rookie faceoff this past week. So there's a lot of different options, and I would definitely love to see them throw, you know, give four or five different goalies starts over the course of this coming season.
May as well try it and see who we have, because you need another that goaltender of the future. And both these guys are in that range where they should be breaking out as a goaltender. 26 Blackwood, 27 Kakinen. So they could potentially be part of the solution. But like you said, they do have some good, intriguing prospects too. And we'll see if any of them can kind of take the reins as well. But that's going to be interesting to follow throughout the season. Okay, this is not a very nice question, because I'm pretty sure they don't stack up very well in this division, but I'll ask it anyway. William, what do you think of this Pacific division? Are they in the basement, or do you feel they're ahead of maybe the Anaheim Ducks? But I'm assuming they probably are in that realm, though.
I mean, when you have veterans like Kutcher and Hurdle, they can always pull something out of nowhere and get a couple extra points that you wouldn't expect them to. But at the same time, the Ducks, I feel like, are, like, for example, they are very close to going over the edge and becoming a really good hockey team, despite what we saw last year. The Sharks, on the other hand, I feel like are doing the opposite. Obviously, as we mentioned many times, having no Carlson is really a big subtraction.
Yeah. It
basically, there's not much you can do. And we still haven't even mentioned, well, I think Alex mentioned it a little bit, but there's also no Timo Meier anymore. He's gone as well. So they got basically two of their biggest offensive pieces gone, and everybody else is getting better while the Sharks are starting to subtract. So, I mean, honestly, if I was a Sharks fan, I would hope that they're in the basement and get you an opportunity for one of those top prospects next season, because that's how you're going to build this team. And although it's going to be rough, because I know San Jose is not used to rebuilding, this is completely uncharted territory, but look how it's working somewhat for Philadelphia now. They're starting to get things going in the right direction, and they're starting to get some hope. Yeah. And I see the same thing starting to happen here as well.
Yeah, I mean, they do have some, like we said, we've talked about William Eklund. He's a high-end prospect. They got a few other guys. Thomas Bordeleau is another guy that potentially be a big part of this team in the future. And yeah, they're going to get a high draft pick, I'm assuming, even if they do finish ahead of the Ducks or whatever. So, I mean, and there's some really good, like, talk about the defense, they're really good defensive prospects in this coming draft. So they want a high-end defender. This draft is wired to get it. So,
and don't forget Will Smith as well. I mean,
yeah, Will Smith, another one. Yeah,
I would say probably 2-3 years out before we see him. So with, I want to say the next big name center coming up would be Michael Misa in a couple of years. So if you're still at the basement, then you land him, that changes everything.
Yeah, 100%. Alex, do you agree with that? That they're probably going to be in that bottom realm, and is it that a good
thing? Yeah, I mean, I'll take it one small step further and say I'll be surprised if they don't finish last in the Pacific this coming season. I mean, you compare them, we're comparing them to the Ducks for obvious reasons. And I think the Ducks have more weapons right now, just in the terms of the young players between Zegras and McTavish. And, you know, they got some really exciting young players, and they're, I think, getting better with some of the moves they made this offseason, whereas the Sharks got worse. And that's, like, genuinely not a knock on the front office or anything. It's just a part of this, their strategy to rebuild and try to sort of build this team up with more young prospects. And I think it makes a lot of sense to build through the draft when you've got someone like a Macklin Celebrini, who's going to be coming up in the 2024 draft. That's a very exciting potential player to get. And if you can add him into these other exciting young offensive players you're going to put in there, that's a really interesting team to look out for maybe three seasons or so. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And then if they do you know, pleasantly surprise and finish a little bit higher. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing either, just because it says, hey, maybe some of these young guys are farther along than we thought. Yeah. Maybe these veterans are sort of finding a second wind and turning this around and picking back up and can be real major contributors to a team that might make the playoffs, you know, a year or two earlier than we thought they would.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a path. I mean, you do have some, like you said, Will Smith. I don't know why I forgot him. He is part just drafted too. We talked a ton about him in Prospect Corner, but yeah, he's a really exciting prospect that could potentially be the centerpiece, the next Logan Couture, maybe that type of guy where, you know, centered around him on this this group. So yeah, it's gonna be a very, very exciting future. It's just you have to wait for it, and that's just how it is with rebuilds. You got to be patient. Okay, let's get to our quick fire round, and we've got some fun questions here. It's funner with the younger teams. Maybe they're not the youngest team, but you could have some breakout stars. Alex, what do you see as a breakout star this season?
I will go with someone we've already mentioned in Philip Zadina. I think that this is a really good move for both sides. I think the Sharks can bring in a player. It really makes a lot of sense for them to bring in a player like him on a restricted free agency contract where, you know, he can have the freedom to kind of play his game. And he was the sixth pick for a reason. And, you know, it didn't quite work out in Detroit. We just never sort of found him. And now I think this is the chance to kind of hit the reset button on his career. And with this change of scenery, he can maybe sort of have a little bit less pressure on him. You know, obviously in when you're that high of a pick, especially with a team like Detroit, there's a lot of pressure to develop and deliver in a certain way. And I think now that he's in San Jose, he can relax and just play his game and play the way he wants to play. And I think on a team like the Sharks that are rebuilding, he'll have a lot of freedom and a lot of opportunities to try to find his best performance.
Yeah, I think that's a really good choice. Zadina, like I said, we've seen flashes of his offense. It's just, it can't consistently do it. And he goes in these big slumps and just gets frustrating. All right, William, who do you have as a breakout star?
Well, I was going to say Zadina as well, but I can't be boring here. So I'll change my answer to Fabian Zetterlund, who he did play very well in his, well, basically rookie season with the Devils. He had a few games the season before. But and then when he ended up in San Jose, he did fall off fairly heavily. He went from 20 points in 45 games with the Devils to 3-22. But that's to be expected when you go from that big of a team. But I think he's the type of guy who he's going to get a bigger opportunity than he had in New Jersey because simply there's not many people to put ahead of him. So if he plays well, he's going to shoot up the lineup. So he has an opportunity to do big things, and he's getting into that range where you can start to expect him to get to his prime. Of he's at 24 now. So really what we see from him the next 3 years or so, that's probably gonna be the best you're going to get from him. So if he's going to be the type of player he's shown he can be in the past, that starts basically now. So he has to start getting there now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's in that range again, that athletic prime, 25 years old, and that, you know, he's right there. So we'll see what he can do. All right, Alex, bounce back. As someone that needs to bounce back from last season. Now there's a few candidates on this team.
There are. I will go with Kevin LeBanc. He had a season last year that was up and down, to say the least. He had some really rough stretches where he just wasn't contributing much and wasn't making an impact. And then a couple of stretches where he looked really good and the player that we know he can be, where just a good all-around offensive player, can pass, can score. And I think this year is a really good time for him to try to return to that form. Training camp is going to be big for him as he tries to sort of pick things back up and just sort of a new season chance to turn over a new leaf for him.
Yeah, he was in trade rumors too. I believe he was in the Tyler Myers one where they're talking about Myers being traded. I think LeBanc was in that one. Can't remember. One of those guys were. William, what do you think as a bounce back candidate?
So I'm basically going to say all of the new acquisitions. I mean, yeah. Basically all of them, that's why you got them. I mean, Hoffman, you want him to bounce back to get more value. Same thing with Granlund. But if I have to pick one, which even though I have to go with Blackwood still, I mean, this is the guy who, if this team is going to somehow be better than everybody expects, it starts there. You need a good goaltender. And if he can steal a couple games, then maybe they aren't 32nd in the league. Maybe they're 30th.
Yeah.
But I mean, but all that's good progress, because at the same time, although you want to build through the future, get those high draft picks, you don't want to lose every game, because that sets a dangerous precedent for the young players. So I think if you get somebody like him to find his form again and have a new change of scenery, basically make him what we've seen he can be, then that's going to be the key to getting a few of those wins that you need.
Yeah, it'd be great if Blacko could reemerge as that that future starting goaltender, because sounds like the Sharks definitely need it. So we'll see what he can do. All right, an X factor, Alex, an X factor that could for this season. Now, it doesn't have to be a player; it can be a situation or a coach or what, something other than that, too.
Yeah, my mind is a situation more. It's kind of going off what William said, is how do the newly acquired veterans play? Because whether or not they're good enough to be really enticing trade chips at the deadline, I think is going to have a massive cascade into future seasons of sort of the assets they might be able to acquire for those players or not, and could end up affecting how the young guys and the prospects develop, depending on how much playing time they get towards the end of the season. So I'm curious to see sort of how those veterans play in the first half of the season and how that might affect how the Sharks play the trade deadline and then subsequently what happens in future seasons as a result.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's going to be, like I say, it's going to be interesting with all these veterans, where they're going to go, if they're going to stay after this season for sure. William, what do you think, an X factor?
I think the X factor to me that's the most important is how the coaching staff uses the youth. Because we've talked about this quite a bit already, but when you have guys like Eklund, Bortolo, these guys can't stay in the minor leagues forever. You have to eventually kind of push them to that next level, and they're ready. I feel like they are genuinely ready. It's just there's so many I hate using this word because it sounds condescending, but mediocre NHL level players. And to clarify, the fact that they're in the NHL at all means they're amazing at what they do.
Yeah.
Just to clarify. But in terms of the best, they're not quite there. And somebody like Eklund or even Bortolo, they have the potential to someday get to that level, but they're never going to if they never get used. So eventually they just have to say, hey, we got to do this. And I think right now is the time you have to do it.
Yeah, no, the young guys need to get time in the NHL, and that's all these veterans are blocking the way, and that I hate that. When you see all these veterans, they're like, the young guys need to play. I know minors and the AHL is good development league, but at some point they got to play in the NHL and see where they are. But
yeah, I mean, same thing we always see. You can rush a player and that'll ruin their development, but look how many times we've seen it as well, where a player just never gets an opportunity. And by the time they do, it's just gone. Either they lose their passion, or frankly, they just might not care anymore at that point, because they feel like they're never going to get there. And that can ruin a player.
Yeah. 100%.
It's such a tricky balancing act, that whole thing. I mean, I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, and you've seen that they've called up a lot of prospects this season. And there's a big debate within the Giants fan community of, did they call them up too early? Are they getting enough of an opportunity? Are the veterans getting too much playing time right now, or they should be getting more, and like allow them to kind of struggle through it? And it's I think hockey is kind of the same way.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So we'll see if anyone can get some time in the NHL this season. That's a great segue, because our next question is, can anyone surprise and actually do this and make the lineup and maybe force a decision to put some of these guys on waivers, like we mentioned before, that may be hesitant to do? Alex, do you see anyone kind of potentially doing that this training camp here?
I think the guy to watch for that is going to be Thomas Bortolo. He played really well at the rookie faceoff. He's shown some, a lot of potential in the minors, and definitely had his moments in his brief call-ups to the NHL. It'll be tough. You know, as we talked about, there's a bit of a roster crunch where are the spaces for the forwards to kind of fit in and find their place when they're not being blocked by a veteran with more NHL experience. But I definitely think he's someone who, if he really impresses in training camp, could definitely force the hand of the coaching staff a little bit.
Yeah, I would probably pick Bortolo as well. William, who do you see as being a surprising rookie to maybe force a decision here?
So if you asked me this a month ago, my answer would have been very different. I'll just at that point, I probably would have said Bystedt, just because I think he could do it. I mean, that frame and everything, like, if you throw him at a third line center for the time being, he could probably do well at it if everything worked out. Of course, now he's gone back to Sweden, so we're not going to get that opportunity. But now I would say my answer is probably going to be Shakir Mukhamudulin. I hate saying that name. I hate typing that name. but I think he's the type of guy, with the way the defense is right now, if somebody's going to squeak in, I think it's going to be on defense. Mm-hmm. And I think he could definitely do something there. It's going to be interesting to see if he does. But, I mean, I think he could make an impact back there on a defense that really doesn't have a difference maker.
Yeah. Just
put it bluntly, there's nobody who's amazing in any way. And I think getting some youth in there could help at least get the energy up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't like typing that name either. I had to do that a few times during his draft year, so to make sure it's the right spelling.
Yeah,
just break it down into syllables. That's how I do it.
That's how I do it too. It's just, I was like, am I going to forget a letter or mix up an A and an E or something? You know,
copy paste is your friend. All right, let's move to other prospects that, I mean, they don't have to potentially be to make the NHL or what, but just a prospect to watch. We'll start with you, William. Who should everyone be watching this season?
I mean, I'm going to just throw this out there because it's an obvious answer, but I'm going to also give a second one just because it's more interesting.
Yeah.
I think first off, Will Smith. He's the guy everybody's going to be watching no matter what. This is the guy, like, he's the future of the Sharks right now. I think Eklund's a great prospect. So is Bortolo, but I think Smith's already kind of surpassed him, as everybody wants to see this guy as soon as possible, but it can't happen just yet. But in terms of my other answer, I'm going to go with the other draft pick from the first round of this year, Quentin Musty. To me, he's just an interesting player. I don't really know why. It's just something stands out to me about him, and I don't know how to put it into words. You're probably better at that than I am, so I don't deal with prospects as much. But I think if there was the opportunity, of course, if there wasn't the NHL-CHL agreement and he was eligible to play in the AHL, I think halfway through the season, he might be ready to play in the NHL if that was possible. I think he's just kind of at that weird point where, like, his development to me seems like it can take off at any moment and just fly off the ranks, essentially.
I love Quentin Musty. He was one of my favorites in this past draft class. And he had a really good season with the Sudbury Wolves too. So very, very interesting prospect to watch this season as well. All right, Alex, so who do you have as a prospect to watch?
Yeah, I mean, those are both great choices. I mean, I loved the Musty pick the second it was made, and everything I've seen from him since has just only confirmed that for me. I will put Mukhamudulin in this category for my pick. I don't think he's going to make the NHL roster on opening night, but definitely at some point during the season, I think we will see him with the San Jose Sharks. And just being able to track his development with the Barracuda in the meantime is going to be really important, just to see how that goes, and just waiting for that moment where he's ready. And I think the second he's ready, boom, let's call him up, let's make this happen, and just sort of see how he can contribute to this defense that definitely needs some new pieces. You know, he's big, he's smart, and the Sharks are trying to make their defense bigger and smarter. So I think he fits right into that, and I'm excited to see what he can contribute.
Yeah, like you said, I think he's got a lot of potential as well. And we'll see if he can become that next leader on the blue line. But maybe not this season, but hopefully soon. All right, this one's an interesting one. Maybe, I mean, there's a few guys that could potentially be here because they still got Couture and Hurdle. So Alex, who's going to lead the team in scoring on forwards and defense?
For forwards, I will go with Hurdle. He had 63 points last season and was, you know, decent, but I think not as fully locked in as he could have been. And I think this season, he'll really sort of work on himself and focus in on picking his game back up to where he expects it. And, you know, as we talked about earlier, without Timo, without Carlson, there's going to be more emphasis on someone like him stepping up and contributing. So I would think he will lead the team in points. Then for the defenseman, I think I got to just sort of play the odds with that one and go with Matt Benning, who is the leading returner of the players now on the team, was led them in defensive points last season. And now that now without Erik Karlsson, he'll be asked to do a little bit more of that. So I think he'll certainly have more than 24 points, and he will lead the defenseman in that.
It's going to be interesting to see who takes over that top power play. Because Carlson's been a staple there forever. So we'll see who does that now. William, who do you got? Do you got the same, or are you going to pick someone different here?
Well, I was going to go with the same, but to be interesting, I'll go another route here again. So, you know, Couture is an obvious answer, but I'm thinking this is going to surprise even me that I'm saying this, but Alexander Barabanov, I think he is on a contract year, and really his future, I don't know where that's going to go. I wrote an article about that last week. Like, he does have some trade protection, which is strange for a player making $2.5 million. Yeah. But at the same time, it's, do you keep him? Do you trade him? What do you do with this guy? Because he's at that age level. And if he wants to win, it's probably not going to be with the Sharks at this point. But if he wants to stay in San Jose, you kind of have to make that happen. But I think this guy, with all those factors being in there, and if he plays the full 82 games or close to it, I think he could get up there, because somebody has to score goals somewhere. I mean, this team's not going to get shut out every game. So at least I hope not. But and then on defense, of course, the answer is more than likely Benning. But just to be fun, I'll go with the guy who was second, which is Vlasic. I mean, he's probably not going to put up many points, but I can't imagine any blue liner putting up many points this season. So I think we're probably going to cap out at like 30 or 40. So at very best. So why not Vlasic?
Yeah, why not? I think anyone could probably. There's no clear-cut guy that's going to put up a ton of points. So I think whoever gets on that power play is going to be the one that'll get, will get the most. All right, we're going to skip over this next one because we've talked about a lot of guys that could be traded at the deadline. And we'll go to our bold prediction hot take. And this is always fun. So, William, who do you got? Bold prediction.
I think one of the veterans, like one of the top guys, like Couture, Hurdle, I would say Vlasic, but I don't think you can move that contract. I think one of them ends up somewhere else at some point. Mm. Just because at a certain point, you do need veterans. But at a certain point, like we mentioned, there can be too many. And with these guys, like Hurdle, kind of, but mainly Couture, if he wants to win, like I've mentioned before, it's not going to be with the Sharks. Mm. This guy, by the time the team's ready to win, he's going to be, what, 34, 35, 36 in that range? I almost forgot how old he is. Somehow off the top of my head, 33?
He's 34 right now.
34. Okay. So okay. Then, he's definitely not going to be 34 when they're ready to win. So he'll probably be 38, 39, 40. And unless he plans on turning into Jaromir Jagr, I don't think he'll be around for that. So I think, of course, that contract's going to be a little bit hard to move with the cap hit and the way the cap is currently. They're kind of all getting ready for next season when the cap goes up. So this might take until next offseason. But I think sometime within probably the next 12 months, one of those guys probably gets moved. I mean, it's becoming a theme for my career. Last offseason, we saw Burns. This time, Carlson. And if I'm Couture, for example, I don't know if this is what I want to stay into. Mm-hmm. I get, of course, the loyalty to the team. This is the team you've been with your entire career. But at a certain point, everybody's goal when they reach the NHL, I feel like, is to win a Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if they didn't have that drive, they would have never made it.
Yeah.
And so when you get to 34 years old and you haven't had the ability to do that, similar to what we saw with Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau, eventually you have to make a decision that's better for you. And I don't know if he'd necessarily put in a trade request, because I don't know if he wants to put that drama on the team, but I think he'd probably be more open to it than most people realize.
Yeah, I get that. Like I say, and Couture's not young anymore. I forget how old he is too. I think he's still young, but 34. Yeah.
He plays like it. Like up there. Like when you look at him on the ice, he to me looks like a 28, 29-year-old. Like he seems like he still has a lot of years ahead of him, but unfortunately he really doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And he's getting paid a lot of money right now too, yeah. $8 million. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he's moved, if there's any talk about it. All right, Alex, what do you got as a bold prediction or hot take for this season?
All right, yeah, we talked about the goaltending earlier, and I mentioned his name. So my bold prediction is that at some point in the over the course of the season, Etu Makaniemi will emerge as a potential goalie of the future. I'm not going to say he's going to carry them. I'm not going to say he's going to turn into 2019 Jordan Binnington or anything like that. But I do think he'll have some games that will kind of make the front office go, okay, maybe this is the guy. Maybe this is the long-term answer in net for us. I think he's played a few NHL games and looked like I was really surprised at his confidence and his maturity from at such a young age, like just getting into the NHL. And he's been solid in the AHL as well. So I'm going with that as my bold prediction that Etu Makaniemi will make an impact.
Yeah, I can see that. Like we've talked about in the goaltending that could be one of these guys emerge as that leader in net, and it may not be the two guys that everyone's anticipating to start the season with. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting season for the Sharks and their quote unquote, I'd say probably first season of rebuilding, because now they have traded those two big pieces. I think they've turned that corner. So we'll see how this season goes, if they're going to be a surprise team or they're going to be in the basement like we were all anticipating. So thanks, Alex. Thanks, William, for joining the preview show here. You know, before we get going, give Alex, I'll start with you. Give everyone your social media and where everyone can find your stuff here.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. My handle is AlexHutton35. So check me out there. I make sure to always post my articles and stuff and tweet out my takes on hockey and other sports things. So yeah, you can follow me there. And William can probably go into a little bit more depth in this, but the Hockey Writers Sharks page has its own Twitter account now. So that's definitely something you can check out as well.
All right. Yeah, William, give us your social media and all that here.
So yeah, my X, same as him, is at William_SP. I almost mispronounced my own name there. I've had four coffees today. I'm on that level of like I'm out of it, to be honest with you. I'm also currently running the Hockey Writers Sharks X, which is at THW_Sharks. And I'm also doing the Blue Jackets one as well. But and then I also am currently running the Substack for the Sharks. So if you see that, that is me.
All right. So,
plenty of ways to find me there.
Sounds good. Yeah, we got all the team Substacks live now. So if you want to subscribe to the Sharks one or all of them, to keep up to date with all the stuff that's going on at thehockeywriters.com, we got lots of stuff going on, lots of preview posts, lots of articles. We got all the season preview videos out so far. We'll have them all eventually out before the season starts. But make sure you're following us there. Make sure you're interacting with us on Twitter, in the comment section below. Give this video a like. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. And just keep following us here. And until next time, we'll see you on another episode of the Hockey Writers Roundtable.